This is Pure Decking, show number 497 for Thursday, October the 13th, 1792. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and actually getting a bit annoyed at myself as I've been designing a 3D printed part for experimenting with antennas. And, well, I've only let the print finish once because I keep getting new ideas in the middle of it, canceling the print, going back to the CAD. So it's just, you know, it's me. It's not nothing. It's just funny. So new VR headset from Pico, $400, competing with the Quest 2. Interesting. Yeah, I've got the story about the new Quest headset, so, you know, we can talk about it. But I might need to look into that Pico headset, rats. So, that sounds interesting. Anyways,
you know when prototyping, you generally let one prototype finish first, right?
Well, what's the point in wasting the plastic when you've realized that the prototype you're printing has problems and you should just go ahead and correct them? So, but obviously we have a madman. What's up, madman?
Nothing much. Happily off work for the week. Woohoo.
Woohoo. We have an Are You?
Well,
not much. And I have Honey Bourbon, so hopefully we'll see how long that keeps my voice going, since last week it kind of kicked out halfway through the show. It's that time of year, what are you going to do? So, anyways, I was talking with Rats before the show, and he got me thinking back to the days of dealing with flipping IBM AS400. You know, 5270 terminal emulators and Windows CE Intermec handheld scanners, because I had opened one up and found an SD card slot on the inside of it and figured out that I could reload it with the SD card and just copy the config files and stuff off a good one. Because what we were supposed to do every time somebody left one off a charger and it reset was you were supposed to have to overnight it back to Intermec to get reprogrammed. And, of course, they charged a $100 service fee for that. I probably saved that company thousands of dollars once I figured that out and just reprogrammed them myself using an SD card. But every once in a while, one would break beyond just the programming. Like, you know, somebody would run it over with a forklift or something, right? So you'd have to send it back in because, you know, it's physically damaged. And we found out Intermec was putting hot glue at first and then later epoxy in the SD card slot to keep people from doing that, because I guess I wasn't the only one doing it. But the hot snot, of course, you could get out of there by just drenching it with IPA and picking it out with a pair of tweezers. But then later when they started putting epoxy in there, it's just like, well, I guess that's done. So... But,
that's a dick of a company.
Well, yeah. You know, they're wanting their $100 service fee. I mean, from a business standpoint, I understand it, but from every other standpoint, they can go sit on a piece of barbed wire vertically. Let's see. Rat says, had a Palm Trio form factor back in middle school. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Palm Trios were fun. I had a couple of different Palm Pilots. It's a couple, mostly through college. I had, like, one near the end of high school. But, yeah, those were fun little devices. What was the one I really had was that Dell Axum. That, you know, because it had a color screen for one thing, but... Because I'd played around with that Axum so much, that's why I knew how to mess with Windows CEs, because I, you know, had one. And I think I've told that story on here of getting into Best Buy's Wi-Fi with it. We've told that story, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, so I don't need to get into that. Madman, do you have any fun reminiscences of old days to get into before we do stories?
Oh. No.
Are you? You got any old...
Not off the top of my head, Moss. Right. Not off the top of my head.
Be 10 years from now, we'll still be used to doing the show. Back in my day!
Back in my day, you had to look at the screen. They didn't have them already pre-implanted in your eyeballs.
We were allowed to turn telemetry off.
Yeah. I remember.
Yeah.
Back in my day, you could drive your own car.
Yeah, when it gets that bad, I'll just
keep
break
driving
out all...
my own car.
Yeah, what is that? Shakes cane at software as a service. Yeah, no shit. It's like, no, I tell you what, I've got a collection of Commodore 64s stashed away. When it gets that bad, we're just going to retire from IT, go live on a farm somewhere, and we'll do computers on the fucking Commodores, because at least I know what the hell they're doing. And they're not doing telemetry because they don't have the fucking horsepower to do telemetry. Old man shakes fist at cloud, right? So, anyways, first story is hilarious. Some Reuters. Roblox says policing virtual world is like shutting down speakeasies. From October the 11th, an online gaming platform, Roblox, confronts a lawsuit alleging it enabled a California girl's exploitation. Its chief scientist said finding dangerous content in the company's virtual world is nothing like spotting it in video. Quote, it's challenging to moderate 3D, unquote, said Morgan McGuire in an interview at the Reuters Momentum conference in Austin on Tuesday. He had no comment on the recent lawsuit, but said Roblox was built with safety and civility at the forefront. San Mateo, California-based Roblox is deploying bots to patrol user-generated games and press buttons to detect any dangerous content that the players have disguised. So they literally have made bots that go into the games and just randomly press shit looking for whatever to pop up.
Looking for gamer words.
Yeah. Quote, this is more like shutting down speakeasies, unquote, he said, referring to the U.S. Prohibition-era bars hiding from law enforcement. Well, I mean, law enforcement would show up at the fucking speakeasies and order a drink, so it's no wonder they couldn't shut the damn things down, because the people who are supposed to be looking for them were usually in on it.
Right. Or taking a bribe to look the other way.
Well, now, wait a minute. Is that this guy doing a bit of a Freudian slip? You know, a bit of a saying that, you know...
I'm quite sure if you, did a deal with Roblox, you could have your own fucking server that wouldn't be modified by the company.
Rats. So... In the IRC, Rats has just said something that we have to respond to. I know we were joking about keeping, you know, old machines around for, you know, when the new ones become intolerable due to telemetry or whatever. But he's talking about downloading the Wikipedia archive and keeping it handy on a Raspberry Pi. Okay. Thing about that. Wikipedia is probably not the archive you want to keep handy. Wikipedia has parts of it that are useful. I'm not going to deny that. But a lot of Wikipedia is simply the last person's version of the truth, right? It's not really a great authoritative source. Keeping archives of data handy on something that you could access on a Raspberry Pi offline is a good idea. I would suggest trolling through book archives. Go to r/open directories, find where people have scanned in books, old sets of Encyclopedia Britannica from, like, you know, the 90s.
Or you can do what I do and hit up the old bookshops and see if you can buy complete encyclopedias.
Yeah.
That's what I've got, stacks of encyclopedias.
Because you know, if you could get an old book on engineering or mechanics or basic electronics, you know, even if it's digital, and archive that away.
Gunsmithing, farming.
Yeah.
Because mechanical, frankly, small engine books, things like that are going to be useful.
Yeah, he says have Wikipedia and others, and have, you know, servers buried and secured, running Ethernet to Raspis with PoE hats, and terminals people can use in exchange for goods. Have laser printers and toners so that they could print them out. That's great, but I'm just thinking Wikipedia is probably not going to be the resource you really want, because, I mean, if you're the world has gone to shit, right? How useful are half the articles on Wikipedia really going to be? You know, if you're in that we've gone to barter and we're now living in, you know, D and, you know, murder hobo D&D world, I don't see an article on, you know, 1920s politics or, you know, whatever the internet memes were as being all that particularly useful. Army field manuals, yes, absolutely, those are great. Sorry, I got distracted with that, but it's just like Wikipedia is not my first go-to resource when it comes to, you know, you're now in the zombie apocalypse, right?
But if you want to really help yourself out, commit it to memory.
Gutenberg Press is also another good place to find old books or out of copyright. And you'd be surprised how many manuals and stuff fall under that.
Yeah, Gutenberg is a good, it's a very good advice. Yeah.
BBC. Oh, you want to get yourself a pharmaceuticals book and a actual teaching pharmaceuticals book and a teaching medical book. Like actual fucking, you know, you could kill a man with these books. Sorry.
No, that's good. That's good. Let's see. So, anyways, meanwhile, back at the article, BBC reported this year that the users had created explicit private spaces known as condos, where people's digital avatars could engage in virtual sex. In Roblox, the one with the Lego people?
Yes.
Yes.
That can't be that enticing. At least in Second Life, the characters looked interesting.
You'd be surprised what people fap to.
Oh.
No, I'm on 4chan. No, I'm not surprised, madman.
Not surprised, but I am highly disappointed and sad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, feel free to be sad.
So, anyways, McGuire said the company is able to remove inappropriate content within minutes thanks to artificial intelligence software and moderators. What escapes scrutiny is not horrifically bad, but many... but more likely a terms violation, he said. Still, a lawsuit filed last week alleged that adult men on Roblox connected with a girl who was born in 2009 and nudged her to sign up for Discord, Snap Inc.'s Snapchat, and Meta Platforms Inc.'s Instagram to talk to them. Okay.
Yeah, that's not the game's problem.
Yeah, that's, I mean...
That's a pedophile problem.
That's a girl born in 2009. Where are her parents when she's using the fucking computer? Because what? Yeah. That's 13, right? Yeah. 13-year-olds still need supervision if they're on the internet.
That's not the game's problem. This author's got it asked backwards.
Well, the author's reporting on a lawsuit. So
it's not the author's reporting on a lawsuit. It's whoever's suing the game that's got that ass backwards.
Okay.
The suit alleges they pushed her to drink, abuse prescription drugs, and send explicit images, later precipitating suicide attempts. Oh, fuck. Now, McGuire said Roblox bars users from posting phone numbers or off-platform links, but put a space in there and suddenly, you know, as momentum grows to connect disparate worlds into alternate digital reality called the metaverse, Roblox is engaging with a consortium of companies about how they could work together in the face of different standards. A real challenge when we start to look at the open metaverse concept is what we want to be able to preserve what we've built and not just allow anything to come to our platform, he said. So again, I don't think there's a technology solution to that problem. Because... No. every time you try to do moderation and word lists and, oh, you can't post a phone number, oh, you can't. Well, what it's doing is it's got a regex or something like that on the back end that it's watching for. Oh, that's a Discord link. Oh, that's a phone number. Oh, that's a, you know. But, you know, if it's like, hey, sign up for Instagram and send us your username, there's no automated script that's going to catch that.
Nope.
Especially if they don't spell Instagram correctly or they just call it Insta. You know what I mean? Because then you start getting into these short words and you start flagging everything, so the moderators have to respond to too much noise. Or Snapchat. Again, all they got to do is spell it with a number replacing a vowel. And, yeah.
New variants of Leet coming out.
Yeah, Leet speak. There you go. Yeah, and Rats has a good example for Instagram. You know, for the most part, most filters aren't going to catch that. Now, eventually they'll add the, you know, if everyone start using a code word for Instagram, they'll probably add it. But, I mean, you know, it's cat and mouse game. So, again, that's not a problem that technology is really going to be able to solve. That's a problem where if you aren't mature enough to be using the computer on your own, and I would say somebody who could be convinced to set up an Instagram account and talk to strangers they met through Roblox, that they could then be convinced to drink, take drugs, and take photos of themselves, probably not mature enough to be left unsupervised with a computer. Well, that's not true. Unsupervised with an internet connection. Let me put it that way. Because I don't know how else you solve that problem. I don't know. There's not a technology solution for that. And actually, I run into this problem professionally, not so much with that, but where you have HR who will quite routinely come to the IT security teams and say, we want to know who's doing X. We want to know who's doing Y. And it's like, that's not a technology problem. That's an HR problem. You know, we can flag websites, but that's not perfect. You know, and you're going to get a lot of noise for that. And usually what ends up happening is they ask the technology people to filter it and only send them real cases, which means you have people like me who end up in very awkward situations where it's like, well, this is going to get the whole marketing department fired.
And at that point, it's like, you're HR. You're the one that decides what a real case is. Here's your info.
Well, that's usually what I end up doing. So in all honesty, professionally, what I usually end up doing in those kind of situations, I gather up all my data. I gather up all my evidence. I don't put any particular recommendation or spin on it. I say, here is a collection of information and facts. And I hand that to my boss to review. And then my boss hands it to HR. And if my boss isn't available, I've got a coworker who I trust with basically that same level to, please look at this before I do anything with it. Let's make sure that there's nothing in there that's going to cause an issue for us, I should say. I should clarify. I want to make sure that I haven't accidentally implied that something should happen. I haven't made an action statement. I'm saying, here's this information. Hand this to the appropriate team and let them decide what to do with it. Because at that point, it's not my decision. I might look at it and say, yeah, fire their ass. They're obviously sitting there looking at porn all day, right? But that's, again, that's actually not my call. I'm simply providing information that management, in this case, can use to make a decision. So you do end up in these really weird scenarios like that where you've got people who aren't tech savvy asking you to solve a problem that's not a technology problem with technology. And I feel like, again, this is really a supervision issue. This is parents not knowing what their kids are doing on computers. And I don't think that you solve that by installing web filters or proxies or, you know, whatever the thing we talked about a few years ago that, you know, some states were trying to give out free copies of to parents, you know, to do web filtering and monitoring is. I think it's sit down with your kids and talk with them about what they're doing on the computer.
That, and if their kids have a family computer, it's sure in the living room, here where you're watching TV, and on occasion, while you're watching the game, walk over to the computer, look over the kid's shoulder, and be like, what you playing? Oh, tower defense? That's lame. Here's a first-person shooter. This is called a fun game.
It's like, It's like, why are you playing that? No, here, you're going to play some Doom.
I mean, with the tech available as it is, you could even monitor their screen via your phone.
I don't think you need to do that. I think you just need to, you know, sit down with them and look at what they're doing.
And this way, you're actually interacting with your child. Because that's the other part of supervision. A lot of parents, it's just like, I want to get a report. That's not how you raise a kid. You look at them, you see what they're doing, and if they do something stupid, you tell them why it's stupid, and you hopefully stop them before anything too seriously happens.
Of course, all of us are talking about this. None of us have kids, so, you know.
Like I've seen kids.
I'm aware of them. They're tiny versions of adults, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're
terrorists. Exactly like tiny versions of adults.
They're terrorists. That's
they're like
they
cats, but can't reach as high.
Oh, no, they can. Oh, God, you haven't been left alone with them long enough. I've taken care of them for days and weeks at a time, and you'd be surprised how high up a 2-year-old can get. Like, on top of the fridge. They figured out that if you pull open drawers, they become stairs. They're smart. I mean, they're still stupid because they're kids, but they're smarter than gerbils. And they learn to use tools.
So you'll never meet a bigger terrorist than a teenage girl. There's no negotiations. They can't be hacked.
I mean, I don't know about you guys. I didn't have unrestricted, well, unrestricted is the wrong way to put it. I didn't have a computer in my bedroom that I could, like, keep my parents from knowing what I was doing with it until I was in high school. Now, partially, that's just because that's when they became available enough that it made sense that they could do that. But, you know, now I had a Nintendo in my room. When I was in, you know, much younger.
What exactly are you going to get into on your Nintendo, though?
Mega Man?
Mario
Brothers?
The 16 pixels of fucking super hot titty.
You're talking about the end of Metroid, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think she's a chick.
I got super lucky. I didn't get into computers in my teens. I could use them. Didn't have one. Used to use my friend's ones, play games with him. I used to do console stuff. And I was outside.
Yeah, now the damn consoles don't even work unless they're connected to the internet, so.
Yeah.
That's crap.
Excuse me. So, well, I think, you know, it's probably not a bad idea to go grab some of these, you know, like
old
SNES
consoles.
Minis and, yeah, you know, shit like that, and set them up air-gapped, not on the fucking internet. It's like, here, go play some Mario Brothers if you want to play a game. You know, let the kids learn on... That was a benefit of those systems, is that they were self-contained. Sure, that, you know, they weren't interacting with anybody, they were just playing the game, but it also meant that you largely knew that they weren't going to come across... Well, like... I'm trying to think if on the NES you ever came across a pair of tits. I don't think you did. I don't remember it. I know on the SNES there were a few games that kind of had a, you know,
implied.
But
it wasn't.
I remember the first time I saw there was an animation in Secret of Mana on the Super Nintendo that, you know, I mean, you couldn't see anything. It was pixel art, right? But, I mean, it was like, oh, that was a naked lady. But, you know, still. Sonic and the Met, I don't know. I didn't have a Sega at the time. But, point being, those kind of games, you know, even if it is, oh, it's a naked lady, it's too pixelated to see anything. I mean, so.
And consoles, you're not interacting with people online. But I remember being in a room with 4 or 5 dudes playing video games and swapping out. Loser stands up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're actually socializing with people. And I know some argue that if you're on TeamSpeak hanging out with people, that's socializing. No, that's close to socializing.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is, but it's not, you know, it's not the same.
It's the closest thing you can get without being in meat space, especially when we've got a watch together or something like that going, because at least everyone's doing the same thing. Yeah, or has a side topic going. But
actual socializing, you're in the room, you're talking to each other, you're working out issues, you're playing a game, and you're having fun.
So, let's keep rolling here and making fun of these metaverse companies here. This is funny. So, this is from futurism.com. Metaverse project Decentraland, a sandbox environment that allows people to buy and sell virtual real estate, isn't exactly teeming with people. Despite billions of dollars in valuations, companies betting on a metaverse future simply haven't made much headway. In fact, according to data aggregator DappRadar, the Ethereum-based world Decentraland only had 38, quote, active users, unquote, over a period of 24 hours.
That's terrible.
It's the way they define active users matters here. A confounding low number, especially considering the company has a market cap of a whopping $1.2 billion. Decentraland pushed back, saying that active users are defined as unique blockchain wallet addresses that interact with its system, as CoinDesk explains. That means users who simply log in and chat or interact with others aren't being counted. So, and I accept their answer there, that they're saying, no, that's not counting people who are just logging into the system. That's counting people who are having some sort of Ethereum-based transaction with a unique wallet in the metaverse.
That's people buying land.
That's somebody doing something financial. But, you know, you're right. Buying land, buying in, you know, in-game item, you know, something, right? But that's the thing. Okay, if this metaverse company, I mean, it's not making any money if you're not doing transactions. So even if you had, because they said DappRadar didn't track our users, only people interacting with contracts, with our contracts, Decentraland's creative director Sam Hamilton told CoinDesk, adding that the platform averages around 8,000 users on an average day. Well, that's still not a lot. So 8,000 active, you know, 8,000 users logging into the system, but only 30 some odd actually doing a financial transaction?
How are they getting a market cap in the billions with that? Unless each one of those people are spending millions of dollars per transaction.
Because it's not real money, Madman. It's just estimated value. If people actually valued this, this is what we think it would be worth.
Yeah, but the estimated value's got to be based on a transaction. Like, whenever you come up with the market cap of McDonald's, you're looking at their sales per year.
So, of course, even 8,000 users on a given day is dismal for something that's supposed to be the future of online communities. And if blockchain is the underlying economic mechanism of the endeavor, it's outright embarrassing to only have a few dozen transactions that are happening per day. In short, it's a perfect example of the kind of massive disparity between the market value and actual users that has been plaguing the Web3 world for years. Who calls it that? And could also be indicative of a serious slowdown in appetite for virtual real estate and other blockchain-related assets, including cryptocurrencies and NFTs. Decentraland's Twitter account also attempted to do some damage control, writing that the platform saw 1,074 users interacting with smart contracts in all of September. That's still really bad numbers for a month. All told, though, none of those numbers really amount to much given the amount of money being poured into metaverse platforms like Decentraland. I agree, because remember a couple of months back, Suave and I were looking into Decentraland to see if it was worth playing with for our group, and I was like, well, what's getting land cost? And you look into it, and it's like several thousand dollars to buy a plot of land in there, and it's like, good God, why? I mean, if it was under $100, yeah, I probably would have done it for fun, but no, it was, I mean, it was absurdly expensive for what it was, and it's like, yeah, geez, no wonder they're dying.
When you're looking at, I could buy actual land for this price.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes no sense. Yeah. I could buy a used Toyota for this money.
Let's see. Anyone, a quote, anyone telling you there's a metaverse today that has worked is lying through their teeth, unquote. Sasha Fleshman, portfolio manager at digital asset firm Arca, told CoinDesk, that's not true. There is a system that was a functioning metaverse that was somewhat popular for several years. It was Second Life. And it's basically dead now. I mean, I don't think it's actually dead, but I mean, but the user count is way, way down. But when in its heyday, Second Life was, I would call that a functioning metaverse.
If with what they're talking as metaverse, EVE Online may qualify.
I like what Al Hazard just put in the IRC. Land is not actually owned and will be claimed by Facebook when you post about quote group of people unquote in a negative light.
Well,
yeah, that's PayPal, right? It's like, yeah, we're just going to steal your money if you say something we don't.
But I identify as a native. Are you just you know taking my land away again, white boy?
Yes, get on the Trail of Tears. there's no response to that, so it's like, yeah.
I love the Land O'Lakes meme. Just like a white dude, get rid of the Indian, keep the land.
Wasn't that Land O'Lakes Butter that did that?
Yep, they got rid of the Indian, but the land's still on the packaging.
Yeah.
CBDCs, help me out, Al Hazard. I'm not recognizing the thing. Is that like a social credit score thing? Because they just kicked central bank digital currency. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's social credit score. Because, yeah, then they can just invalidate your money. Digital U.S. dollar, yeah.
Yep.
That hasn't become a thing yet.
Yet.
Hey, depending on how they do it, it could be good.
Fuck off, madman.
If they go with the blockchain,
fuck off, madman. Don't make me say it a third time.
It would
time.
Be a great way
fuck
of
off,
doing
madman.
Transactions.
Don't make me do a fourth time.
No, could
fuck
be,
off,
be
madman.
Getting rid of credit card companies.
So if they stick to a true decentralized blockchain, which is one of the strengths of Bitcoin and even Ethereum, possibly. But there are problems with it. And for the most part, centralized, you know, central bank digital currencies won't be a distributed blockchain. It will just be, the ledger will be managed by the central bank, not, you know, a group consensus like a Bitcoin does. Which means they can do all the same shit they do today with the financial system. It's just going to be in a digital form. So, I don't know. I'm not going to proclaim knowledge of the financial system enough to really know how that'll work. But I know from the technology side of the house, I won't be able to validate the ledger if it's a centralized ledger that's only controlled by a handful of entities.
So what happens when the power goes out? How do we fucking, you know...
Well, in that case, it becomes a rapid velocity barter system. I exchange my bullets for whatever goods you have that I want.
Exactly.
It's the same thing that would happen today if the power goes out. You know, the overwhelming vast majority of cash that everyone has, probably even including you, isn't physical.
Oh, we have like, a Sardonyx in the ARC.
Cash that I have physically right now is $35. All the rest of my cash is electronic ones and zeros. Even though it is quote-unquote cash.
But,
I can live about a month on the cash I've got.
Well, here's the thing, though. Okay, power goes out. You know, EMP, North Korean invasion... Aliens.
If it's an EMP, we got more problems than figuring out how to fucking pay for stuff.
Well, that's my point, is if you're at the situation where the power has gone out and all of the digital currency is gone, it's not just gone for you, it's gone for everybody. I guess unless you're in a social credit score, you've been canceled situation, that might be different. But if we're talking about general emergency, power's out, digital currency is unavailable, what do you do? Okay, you might still have cash. Most other people aren't even going to be thinking about that. They're going to be in panic mode, which is, again, the answer becomes bullets. Which, there's a great quote from Star Trek Deep Space Nine that, you know,
Quark.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact quote, but basically you take these, you know, beautiful, wonderful people and put them in a war zone for long enough, and they'll be way worse than any Klingon. So,
like, humans are great people. They're generous. They're murderous, horrible bastards. They're happy when they're fed. Yeah, I love that, man. He's very wise.
Well, I mean, what's the phrase? Three hots in a cot. Everyone is, you know, 3 days away from anarchy.
I'd say it's less now.
Yeah. You've got people who already flip out just for not getting their way online.
Well, yeah.
It's like somebody said something mean on Twitter. God forbid. I mean,
well, I love the fact that we're going through an Adderall shortage and there's a possible nuclear war coming. Nothing says harmony in the streets than people coming off their medication, you know, with a hyper amount of stress over their head. Fuck, man. We are going to see some shit and some shit-related accessories.
Well, speaking of shit-related accessories, let's move on to the next story from Wired. Meta's VR headset harvests personal data right off your face.
Yeah.
Facebook announced it would delete facial recognition data extracted from images of more than 1 billion people and stop offering to automatically tag people in photos and videos. Luke Stark, an assistant professor at Western University in Canada, told Wired at the time that he considered the policy change a PR tactic because the company's VR push would likely lead to the expanded collection of physiological data and raise new privacy concerns. This week, Stark's prediction proved right. Meta, as the company that built Facebook is now called, introduced its latest VR headset, the Quest Pro. The new model adds a set of 5 inward-facing cameras that watch a person's face to track eye movements and facial expressions, allowing an avatar to reflect their expressions, smiling, winking, or raising an eyebrow in real time. The headset has 5 exterior cameras that will, in the future, help give avatars legs that copy a person's movement in the real world. And if anybody who's paid or played with, you know, the older Quests or other VR headsets, like, you know, if you've been in VR chat, you've seen the person who, like, I don't know, leaned at an odd angle or squatted down and the system just flipped out and, like, you know, balled up their avatar because it didn't know where they were. So some of this technology, like doing the face tracking and stuff like that visually, the technology's cool. Kind of sucks that it's shackled to Facebook because they're going to... I mean, having your avatar reflect your facial expression in real time is kind of fun, except it's, you know, going through Facebook's system, and they're going to suck out every bit of data they can from that. The dream. 8 hours of wearing an AR-VR headset for virtual meetings on my Amazon wage cage. Yeah, that's...
that's when you know you've finally made it.
I've done meetings in VR at work because we were trialing it. It works better than you would think. But it is a little bit disconcerting when somebody puts on the headset and a female voice comes out of the bald man with a goatee. it's odd when you're trying to figure out who is that on the other side of the generic avatar. Don't get me wrong, it was fun, and you do get that sense of presence. And I could see doing real meetings in the VR headset for some of the stuff I've done. I did a security conference a few years ago in VR. It does work. You do get that sense of space. You do get that sense of communicating with people, even though they're all cartoons or Lego people. But it, you know what? I had a hell of a headache after I, you know, did 8 hours in VR for a security conference. I mean, I had a whopper of a headache. I had to lay down for a while. The new model adds a set of 5. Oh, I already said that. To allow the avatar to reflect their expression, smiling, winking, or raising an eyebrow in real time. Okay, we've read this. After Meta's presentation, Stark said the outcome was predictable, and he suspects that the default off setting for face tracking won't last long. Quote, "It's been clear for some years that animated avatars are acting as privacy loss leaders," unquote, he said. Quote, "This data is far more granular and far more personal than an image of a face in a photograph," unquote. At the event announcing the new headset, Mark Zuckerberg, Meta's CEO, described the intimate new data collection as a necessary part of his vision for virtual reality. Quote, "When we communicate, all of our nonverbal expressions and gestures are often even more important than what we say, and the way we connect virtually needs to reflect that too," unquote, he said. Zuckerberg also said the Quest Pro's internal cameras, combined with cameras in its controllers, would power photorealistic avatars that look much more like a real person and less like a cartoon. No timeline was offered for the feature's release. A VR selfie of Zuckerberg's cartoonish avatar that he later admitted was basic became a meme this summer, prompting Meta to announce changes to its avatars. Companies including Amazon and various research projects have previously used conventional photos of faces to try to predict a person's emotional state, despite a lack of evidence that the technology can work. Data from Meta's new headset might provide a fresh way to infer a person's interests or reactions to content. The company is experimenting with shopping in virtual reality, good God, why, and filed patents envisioning personalized ads in the metaverse, as well as media content that adapts in response to a person's facial expressions. In a briefing with journalists last week, Meta product manager Nick Ontiveros said the company doesn't use that information to predict emotions. Raw images and pictures used to power these features are stored in the headset, processed locally on the device, and deleted after processing, Meta says. And presently, I believe that. It probably is. If nothing else, just because storing all that would be horridly expensive. But, how long before they start tapping into it? You know what I mean? Meta says eye-tracking facial expression privacy notices that the company published this week state that although raw images get deleted, insights gained from those images may be processed and stored on Meta's servers. There it is. That data on a Quest Pro's user's face and eye movements could also be broadcast to companies beyond Meta. A new movement SDK will grant developers outside the company access to abstract gaze and facial expression data to animate avatars and characters. Meta's privacy policy for its headset says that data shared with outside services will, quote, will be subject to their own terms and privacy policies. Uh-huh. And for some reason, the animated facial expressions in the GIF they're showing. Is there a kind way to say, you know, they could have picked something other than two lesbians to show off the facial animations? Because that's what it looks like, you know, like butch lesbians.
There probably is, but we wouldn't use it.
Yeah, no, I...
Anyways, it keeps going. But, so that's... So all these extra cameras are, of course, why the headset costs so much more. But, and you know they're going to be collecting that data. Because I've played with the Quest 2. I like the Quest 2. It's a nice headset. Outside of the fact that, again, it's fucking tied to Facebook or Meta now.
And fantastic bio training algorithm you're building there.
Yeah, really.
You know, fuck.
So, but the thing that bothers me the most about it is, you know, it's very clear that Quest 2 is tied into their systems. As an example, like the hand tracking it does. It's actually pretty good when you use anything that does the hand tracking. It does a really good job of capturing where your hands are and animating that on the avatar. But when you turn it on, it says telemetry for the hand tracking is going to Facebook. Well, Meta. And, you know, it's like, it's if you're using that hand tracking feature, the telemetry is going to Facebook. And there's a lot of apps that require it. You know, the meeting thing I was talking about, it requires the hand tracking to be turned on. So I try to remember to go turn it back off when I'm not using it, just because I don't like the idea of the telemetry going. And yes, I have watched VR YouTube while sitting on the toilet, And I turn off the telemetry because I don't want to be the asshole making some poor Facebook engineer watch the hand motions of somebody wiping their ass.
I say missed opportunity.
So, Facebook knows. Sorry. Facebook knows when you're watching VR porn, the hand movements give it away.
Yeah.
Either that or they confuse it for playing Beat Saber.
I thought we at one point decided those were the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, again, I think the technology is cool. I just hate that it's tied to Facebook systems. Because, as an example, they required you. They said, oh, well, we're going to move all the Facebook stuff. They'll hire a scatfish. I was exaggerating for a joke there, rats, but you know what? It's fine. The sad part is, you're right, there's somebody out there who's probably into that shit, and it's like, well, literally. And so, yeah, enjoy it. Subsidize how much they're subsidizing the headsets? Well, maybe. But as an example, the other day, because they swapped out their back-end system again, with my Quest 1, I originally set it up with an Oculus account. And then I had to switch it to a Facebook account. And the most obnoxious thing is, they push an update to the device that, you know, basically, if you don't switch it to a Facebook account, it's a brick. You cannot use it. The operating system locks you out. And they did it again with this switch to a Meta account. Again, it just locks you out. It's like, until you set it up with a Meta account, it's a brick. You can't use it. And, you know, even for stuff where you're just running something that's already on the headset, nope, you have to switch the account to the new system. So it's very much like a cell phone in that regard. And, you know, when Apple pushes an update, it's just going to fucking do it in the background. And, you know, depending on the Android update, too. So, I don't
like... At that point, you don't own your hardware.
That's you're right. You don't. And that's what bothers me about it. And, you know, Rats was talking about a different headset that was a little bit more open before we started the show that cost about the same as the Quest. And I'd like to look into it because if it is better, especially if somebody can get an open-source firmware for the thing eventually... because I always figured somebody would jailbreak the Quests and make them usable outside of the Facebook system, and frankly, I haven't seen it. Now, admittedly, I haven't really been looking that hard, but I kind of was expecting that to happen, and I haven't really seen it. The thing's running on Android under the hood, and it's easy enough to sideload stuff, but again, when they lock you out of the whole damn operating system until you sign in with an account, that's not good, and... I mean, Microsoft's trying to do the same damn thing with their, Microsoft accounts now, too. Like, well, apparently Windows 11 does that. So it's just like, fuck. So. Go back to my old Commodore 64s. You know what? It's like, well, the device isn't capable of connecting to the internet. You know it's not doing anything you didn't tell it to do. Pico 4, not Pico... Pico Neo 4? Okay, yeah, I need to look into that. You guys have anything else on this?
Yeah.
Next article, or you sent me this. It is from abc.net.au. The AFP, that would be the Australian Federal Police. Well, here, I'll just read it. The Australian Federal Police have confirmed classified documents from Colombian government exposing agents who work to stop international drug cartels from operating in Australia have been exposed in a hack. Sorry, but as we established last week, I find coughing into the microphone hilarious. 9 newspapers have reported that more than 5 million emails and tens of thousands of documents and the details of 35 AFP operations were hacked and held in a password-protected database in August. An Australian Federal Police spokesperson said they were assessing what information hackers stole and that they were concerned about possible breaches of operational security as a result of data compromise. Quote, the AFP is currently assessing the information for what may have been obtained from the Colombian law enforcement as part of this hacking activity, unquote, they said. Quote, the AFP is working with our partners in impacted regions to mitigate any potential threats to the safety of people or ongoing investigations, unquote. The spokesperson said the AFP was working with counterparts in impacted areas to mitigate any potential threats. Oh, that's exactly. So they have the quote. Then they say the person said this. Come on, editors. Quote, operations carried out with the involvement of the Colombian law enforcement agencies have resulted in the detection of a large amount of drug importations bound for Australia and the disrupted drug cartels through arrests and prosecutions undertaken by Colombian authorities, unquote, they said. The spokesperson said transnational organized crime groups were importing illicit drugs into Australia on an industrial scale. Well, no shit, they're doing it everywhere. Quote, they are ambivalent to the misery caused by their product, its impact on our health systems, or if innocent people are killed in the crossfire of the... yes, that's called drugs.
I mean, no one advertises it, yet it sells like hotcakes. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's called a black market.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't attract nice people. They're not going to care about externalities.
Sard said I needed to read the article upside down. Sard, how do you know I didn't?
Okay. This has got the telemetry going for your headset.
Joke's on you. Wait, I see your screen's upside down. Yes, joke's on you. I'm standing on my head. No. Anyways,
was it the Colombian systems that were compromised or the Aussies?
The Australians. We're just having a really shit time with network security at the moment in this country. Optus getting hacked, fucking post office got hacked. Yeah.
So are you, I'm afraid Sardonyx has put in a request. He said we needed more mates and oi cunts in that story.
Well, just because you requested it means you're not going to get it now.
Okay, well.
Remember, the audience is shit. I'm just passing on the message. Never give the audience what they want. And always leave them wanting you to get off the fucking stage.
And that's why they only buy you Fosters, are you?
We got decking for, what is it? Dojo coming up next.
I've got a couple of things to run through real quick.
All right.
This one's from Daily Dot. Conservative dating app Right Stuff launched on Friday. Peter Thiel backed art and blah 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 blah. Reviewer Big Chungus said one of the app's prompts asked about the Capitol riot, but suggested they initially thought it was harmless because I said I was there because I was a patriot on a dating app. And apparently, he then got contacted by the FBI. So they're saying, oh, my God, it's a honeypot. Well, do you think the FBI is not trawling through as many of these apps and social networks as they can, especially for somebody saying they might have been, you know, somewhere like January 6th?
Yeah, I don't believe it's a honeypot. I think just the FBI has a profile. Same thing with Facebook, guys. If you post that you committed a crime on Facebook, don't be surprised when the cops show up. Plenty of fish, anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, if you post pictures of yourself with your drugs and money and plenty of fish, I guarantee the cops are going to call you. Show up, do something. So, now if it's badly photoshopped, then they're just going to laugh at you. So, anything else on that, are you?
I just say don't use social media.
There you go.
Well...
put down the phone, you crackhead.
Speaking of putting down the phone, this one's hilarious. It's from Hackaday. Roller coasters are triggering the iPhone's crash detection system.
Fucking yes. Please tell me they're calling 911 at Six Flags constantly.
No, but so what happens, because I've seen this on my stuff a couple of times, right? Where something, you know, the watch especially will decide that you've fallen. Right. And it'll make a noise and an alarm and you look at it and it's got this thing that you can slide to do an emergency call. So that's 911. And it'll have a message on the screen. It looks like you've taken a serious fall. And it's like I bent over to pick something up off the floor. What the fuck? And you have to say, Cancel. Did you take a fall? No. Do you need help? No. So I guess it's using the accelerometer, but the phones are doing it now too, where it's like, it looks like you've been in a crash. It's like, thanks, Clippy. I mean, but yeah, it's got an I'm okay button or call. And I guess some of these, like if you don't respond to them fast enough, it might try to do an emergency call. So,
oh God.
Yeah.
I want to do nothing. And then when the cops start complaining that they're getting too many 911 calls, I'll be like, you're going to have to take this up with Apple.
It's like, I didn't call 911. Well, your phone did. Yeah, well.
I didn't tell it to. Apple programmed it to whenever I throw it into the pillow over there on the wall.
Well,
I don't
Android's
know why
starting
they're
to do
doing
it too,
that.
So it's not just Apple. So, anyways, looking at the clock, I'm going to skip because I know we'd be on it all night. The video games could trigger deadly heart problems in children's story. I'll leave the link in the show notes, but yeah, they're blaming video games for kids having heart attacks. It's like, no, the problem is the undiagnosed heart condition, not the video game. It's like, you know, if a video game triggers a heart attack, what are you going to do the first time they get on a bike or see a girl? I mean, come on.
Has nothing to do with spike proteins, guys.
Absolutely
nothing
to
do
with
spike proteins. There's nothing to do with anything involving RNA. RNA is safe
and effective.
And dumb. Don't masturbate to Tomb Raider. That makes you a dweeb.
The fuck did that come from?
What version of Tomb Raider, man?
We're gonna
just
go
so
with
I
any
be
of
sure.
Them.
Yeah, be a Chad, hey, and masturbate to the Overwatch girls, right?
It's getting your heart up playing a video game. I'm just trying to think, how is this happening? And it's like you don't do that. Wrong.
Okay, so for Digital Touch, where do you go from that? For Digital Dojo tonight, I have this little game called Mar 1D. This is a version of Super Mario Brothers from the NES, but it's the same graphics, but they've changed the perspective. So it's first person from Mario's point of view in one dimension. So what that means is you're only seeing the game from Mario's perspective of seeing 2D sprites. So you only see the pixels on the side of the sprite. So, yeah, you know, the Goomba coming at you is just a line. And, you know, the pipe is a green line and, you know, stuff like that. And the question block is flashing, at least. But, yeah, it's just basically it's a experiment in perspective in showing you a first person view of a 2D world. So it's kind of a head game, but
hey, it's better than most modern art.
I thought it was amusing. I thought it was interesting. So here you go, mar1d.com. That's the game. It's worth watching the videos on it just to get the idea of what they're doing with it. I did not download and try playing the game because, frankly, I thought about it for a minute and thought, well, that's going to be incredibly hard and frustrating. So, and my day job is already incredibly frustrating, so I just didn't need the extra stress. Might be one of those video games that triggers a heart problem. I don't know. So, but that's all I've got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. Of course, the subreddit, the IRC. In the IRC tonight, we have Alhazard, Cyberlard, Cycros, Madman, myself, Sardonyx, the Soylent Bomb, and we did have a Rats, but he left early. I guess he got tired of me. Madman, closing thoughts.
Scotch is good, and the bottle should be closer to my desk.
Yeah, well, the problem with the bottle being closer to your desk is that damn climate change taking it away from you.
Right.
It'll evaporate. Are you close?
Damn Greta, inventing climate change.
In things I learned during the show today, The thumbs up emoji apparently is now cancelable for some reason. Yeah, these kids are so fucking soft, man. Like, they're all screaming about some dude doing a thumbs up emoji. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. But
why?
I don't understand this world. I'm going back to my rock. That's it.
Just anything is... sure, make up new rules. Yeah, sure, why not? See if the rest of the world picks up on them. Oh, wait, they will, because Twitter. Fuck.
Exactly.
Yeah, because that's what we need. More college dropouts with no life experience or any understanding of how the world this fucking works. Making more rules for how to interact socially.
Exactly. And leave your phone at home. Stop carrying your fucking phone. Drug addicts.
Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine.
Actually, I don't. That's it, isn't it? I don't have anything else to play, just sound effects. All right, closing out the show.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Oh, fuck.
But shut up, Wesley.
Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine.